Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we unlock inspiration one quote at a time. And I hope you had an amazing weekend and that you are ready to move ahead and win another week. We want you to win your week this week. And I hope you can find something within the Quotivation Podcast to inspire you to do just that. You know, I'm always amazed when things don't quite turn out to be what they seem. I remember one year, my family and I had what I thought was going to be a disastrous start to our family vacation. We had booked a condominium for the week in beautiful Indian Rocks Beach, Florida, which is where we love to go. We love the Gulf Coast. We love Indian Rocks. We love the Clearwater area right there outside of Tampa in Florida. And then we found this condo through a network, and we had booked it directly with the owner. This particular year, we wanted our kids to have the experience of flying commercially. So we booked airfare and a rental car, and we flew into Tampa, Florida. We drove the 45 minutes out to the coast, and we're so excited to find the condo. Only there was another family in the condo that we were supposed to be staying in. In fact, we ran into them as they were leaving for dinner. And when we thought we were checking in. Now, they were a super nice couple. And they had been staying there for the last 2 weeks. They only had 3 days left. But those 3 days, of course, overlap with half of our week. But they were nice enough to cut their trip short and leave the following morning. Now, the owner of the condo was of little to no help in the situation. He did refund one of the nights for us and scheduled the cleaning crew to come in, but he wouldn't pay for our hotel room for that evening. We had nowhere to stay. We had to find a room. He even went so far as to recommend us going to, shall we say, a very seedy hotel that was in the heart of Tampa. We drove by it, took one look. I even gave it a call, and we thought, no, we'll find our own. Thank you very much. We're very thankful to find a Hampton Inn. We got a good night's sleep after the long flight and all of the headaches and all of the worry and all of the anxiety that come with, oh my gosh, we have nowhere to stay and we can't turn around and drive home. And so we were able to find this hotel. We got a room. We crashed for the night. And honestly, that evening, where we went out to eat and we came back to the hotel room. The next morning, we went down for breakfast together. And of course, during the day, we drove around and went to see sites that we wouldn't normally have done because we would have normally been out on the beach. That's what we do. We take a chair, we take a cooler full of waters, and we sit down on the beach and we stay there all day. Now, that's my ideal vacation. But on this day, because they had to clean the condo and get it ready for us, we wouldn't be able to check into the condo until later that afternoon. And so we got to drive around and see areas that we wouldn't normally have seen on our vacation. And it truly was one of the best vacations that we've ever been on. It certainly was one of the most memorable. And I remember that day and a half, especially, that what could have been such a disastrous time turned out to be one of the sweetest and most amazing times we've ever spent together as a family. And as you get older and your kids grow up and move on and start their own families and do their own things, those are the memories you hold on to. Those special times that, yeah, they weren't perfect, but they were so much more than what we thought they were going to be. That's true of a lot of things in life. And I'm excited for you to hear from our special guest this week, because that's going to be another example of something that can possibly turn out to be something completely different than what you thought it was going to be. So what do you say we get started? Let's get started winning your week right now. We start off this week like we do every episode, by taking a shot of motivation. And of course, this week's shot of motivation is sponsored by The Real Deal in all things mortgage. And that is Amy Real from Fairway Mortgage. Amy knows it all about mortgage. She can help you through that process. She can help you with that first mortgage, that second mortgage, that refinance, that home equity loan. And now that she's with Fairway Mortgage, you need to ask her about that cash guarantee program that will make a cash offer to buy your home if it doesn't sell before the allotted time period. This removes all of that pressure of contingency sales, and am I going to sell my house to buy another one, and are they going to be able to buy our house so that we can buy another one? This takes that all away. So give Amy a call today. Her phone number, 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can also email her at her new email address, amy.real, R-E-I-H-L, at fairwaymc.com. She is Amy Real, and she is the real deal for all things mortgage. Give her a call. Tell her you were quotivated to get your mortgage deal done. And Amy's NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thanks, Amy. All right. What do you say we take a shot? A shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
In last week's episode, we talked about the power of finding your sanctuary and the need for all of us to be able to find some place where we feel completely and totally safe. Now, hopefully, a lot of us find that at home. Sometimes we have to step outside of our home to find a place that would allow us to be completely alone and feel safe. So we can go to our car, we can take a drive, we can take a walk. But it's important for us to find sanctuary, for us to be truly with ourselves. Sanctuary is not spending time with family. Spending time with family is great. It's important. It's necessary. But it's not your sanctuary time, because your focus is on other people. You need time where you can focus truly inwardly on yourself. And we talked about how last week you could win your week by finding your sanctuaries. And you can have more than one. You can have some that are sanctuaries you visit every so often, maybe sometimes once or twice a year. I talked about how my sanctuary was the beach. Give me a beach chair, give me a cooler full of ice cold water and some sunscreen. I'm set. My wife and I can sit next to each other on the beach all day long, say just a few words to one another, and both come off the beach feeling refreshed, rejuvenated, connected. Because it's our sanctuary. Now, we can't go to the beach every day, unfortunately. We don't live at the coast, but it's someplace that we can go every now and then to really recharge the batteries. On a daily basis, I find my sanctuary in my car after I've been through the McDonald's drive-thru grabbing my McCafe. I find a sanctuary in nature. I find a sanctuary in a quiet room. In my house, I find sanctuary here in my office. And it's great to have a place to go, but once you get there, once you arrive at your sanctuary, then what? What do you do if you've never had the opportunity to truly look inwardly, to take stock, to evaluate, take inventory of life, of your thoughts, of your feelings? I know, oh, there's that F word again, feelings. We don't always like to acknowledge our feelings, even though we are emotional, intuitive beings, and most of our decisions, most of our responses are based on feelings. No one really likes to address them. No one likes to acknowledge them, but it's necessary. And so when you find yourself in your sanctuary, here are some things that you could do to allow yourself to clear your mind and truly take stock of what's going on up here in your mind and in here in your heart. One of the things might be a breathing exercise. Simple enough. Everyone can do this. Focusing on our breathing, inhaling deep through the nose, holding it there just for a few seconds, and exhaling slowly through the mouth. Repeat that a few times. I've been given the advice sometimes of standing while doing this, looking to the ceiling. And as I take in a breath, what I'm blowing out, and I'm blowing upward as if to say, be gone from me, is the stress and the anxiety that I hold on to within my body. And so I can visually see that stress leaving me so that it allows us to focus and relax and reduce the stress and truly improve our concentration. If you want to take it a step further, close your eyes and do a mental scan of your body from head to toe. Focus on each body part of each section of your body, noticing any tension or discomfort. And so maybe you've closed your eyes, you're doing your breathing exercise, and you breathe in and you can focus on your shoulders and you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. The stress being held there. Focus on that part of the body. Breathe into each area and consciously tell your body to relax. Tell your muscles to loosen. It sounds weird, right? Tell your body to relax. Relax, body. However, our thoughts, what we're thinking, what we're commanding our body to do, our body responds, it recognizes, it knows when we want our body to do something specific. It's just like when you have a bad thought about your boss in a meeting. You're in a meeting and the boss says something and subconsciously you're thinking, this guy's an idiot. This lady doesn't know what she's talking about. And without even realizing it, you roll your eyes. You didn't mean to. But your body responded to the thoughts that you were having. So if you think inside your mind, as you close your eyes, you mentally scan your body and you tell your shoulders to release the tension. Your shoulders will release the tension. That's going to take a little bit of practice. It's going to take a little bit of time to truly get it down, to truly focus in on it, but you can do it. It's not hard. From there, you can do some mindful meditation where you sit quietly and you focus just on the present moment. What's going on? What's going on with you? What's going on in your heart? Observe your thoughts. Acknowledge your feelings, all without judgment. This exercise shouldn't be, well, here I am, And I am mad. I am mad at my spouse. Boy, I shouldn't feel that way. That's not what this is. It's not judgment. Simply observe it, recognize it, acknowledge it. Because this enhances our awareness of how we're feeling. It enhances our mindfulness. It allows us to regulate our emotions. When we acknowledge them, when we call them out, when we name them, then they're less intense. And we can manage them more properly. Other things you can do in your sanctuary. Journal. I am terrible at this. I've tried to start this. I've started and stopped. I've intended to start and never really got going. But research shows that writing things down, it's cleansing for the body. So start with gratitude journaling. Write down three things that you are grateful for every day, every time you are stepping into your sanctuary. Do your breathing exercise, clear your mind, and ask yourself, in this moment, what am I grateful for? Now, the temptation is to say, well, I'm grateful for my wife or my husband. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for my family. Grateful for my dog, blah, blah, blah. Don't fall in the trap of repeating things day after day after day. In this very moment, what are you grateful for? I am grateful right now that I have a platform to even share anything with anyone. I don't know how many people are listening. I don't pay a lot of attention to my analytics because I'm grateful for the ones that do, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to hopefully find some inspiration and motivation in the words that I speak. And if just one of you finds that, all of this is worth it. So I'm grateful for that. That's what I'm grateful for right now in this very moment. What about you? This gratitude journaling allows you to shift mindset, improve mood, foster a positive outlook. There are things that you are grateful for, whether you overlook them or not. Calling them out allows you to gain such an appreciation for life. It can be the one thing that helps you climb out of that hole you may feel like you're living in. Recognizing those things we're grateful for and how blessed we are to have them. Even the little things. You can do some reflective journaling in your sanctuary. Reflect on your day, on recent experiences. Write about your thoughts and feelings about your day or your experiences, your interactions, the meeting that you led, or the new project that you have. Express all of your emotions around that. Opportunities that have come your way. Opportunities that you wish would come your way. All of these help to process our emotions, and it allows us to gain insight into the things that are important to us right now. Another thing you can do in your sanctuary is goal setting. Short-term goals, long-term goals, actionable steps to achieve them. What do you want to do? What is the thing in your heart that is burning with desire for you to accomplish? Now, some of you may say, I have no idea what that is. I don't have something like that. What's wrong with me? Nothing. You may have just not found it yet. You may have not realized it yet. It may not be the right time yet. But if there's something that I've learned, especially in the last 7 months, is that your whole life you are being prepared for something. You may not know what it is, and it may not be on your timetable, but there is something great, something wonderful that you are being prepared to do So instead of trying to figure out necessarily what that is, live in the moment. Absorb everything you can. Learn what you need to learn so that when the time comes and your goals are clear and your action steps are written down, you have the knowledge, the courage, and the ability to accomplish everything that you have on your goal list. Don't try to figure it out so much. We want to know the end game. Listen, enjoy the story. Enjoy the story. Who goes into a book or a Netflix series, flips to the final chapter to read it, and then goes back and reads the book, or watches the final episode of the series and then starts over? We don't need to know the ending. We need to enjoy the story. And if we enjoy the story, the ending, oh, the ending's going to be grand. So write down your goals. Write down your action steps. If you don't know what that is, if you don't know what it is in your heart, then write down the things that you want to accomplish today based on what you're learning. Because all of it ties together. Other things you can do in your sanctuary. You can do some physical exercises. Stretching. It's yoga. It's an incredible stress relief. It allows you to focus on different muscle groups. It allows your body to just release the tension that it carries. Maybe think about Tai Chi. Just slow, deliberate movements and deep breathing. Promotes balance, both mentally and physically. Relaxation, both mentally and physically. Energy flow, both mentally and physically. Some other things you can do in your sanctuary. Some of these are my favorite. I am very much a creative person. I am, if you know the DISC assessment and the four categories of DISC, I am an I, which, and I'm not just like in the center of that pie. I am on the outer circle in the middle. I am an I, I'm an I, I'm an I. I am creative. I have ideas. I live up in the clouds. I'm the big idea guy. And so I love creative things. So when you're in your sanctuary and maybe you're struggling to find that path forward or to create that wonderful idea or that creative solution to a problem, sit down with a blank sheet of paper and start drawing. Start doodling. What do I draw? What do I doodle? I don't know. The first thing that comes to mind, start there. Do your breathing exercises, clear your mind, relax your shoulders, release your tension, and then open your mind to be receptive to whatever comes in, and then start drawing, start doodling. Maybe you want to color. Bring color pencils or crayons. Bring a coloring book. I'm going to tell you something that is, I believe, is the secret to truly releasing stress. Color Big Bird from Sesame Street. Go download a coloring sheet off the internet, print it, grab some yellow and orange markers, and go color Big Bird. You cannot color Big Bird and not smile. You can't color Big Bird and not feel relaxed. There's something about the colors that work together. There's something about the aura of Big Bird, of Sesame Street. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you don't know Sesame Street, number one, I'll pray for you. Number two, go Google it, YouTube it, find it. Such a wonderful children's show. And Big Bird is at the heart of it. You can't color Big Bird and still be stressed. It's impossible. For those of you that are gifted in such a way, maybe you want to play a musical instrument. Maybe you want to bring your guitar or sit down at the piano or whatever that gift is. It doesn't matter if you play it well or not. Maybe you want to listen to beautiful music. Bring your headphones, bring your Spotify account, and just sit quietly and close your eyes and don't just listen to the music, but see it. Envision it. What does your mind say this music means? What does it say to you? Some other things you can do: positive affirmations, visualization. These things allow you to remind yourself that you're incredible, that you're amazing, that you are unique. Do you know there is only one of you, not just alive today, but there has only ever been one of you? That's incredible. How incredibly unique you are. How incredibly special you are. Remind yourself of that. Positive affirmations, visualizations. Visualize the peace that you seek. Visualize the goal that you want to achieve. Visualize the success that you want to have. It enhances relaxation, it increases motivation, and it boosts self-esteem and positive thinking. Some other things you can do in your sanctuary, and actually in finding your sanctuary. Maybe you want to go on a nature walk. Take a walk outside. Go into the woods. Take time to drive up to a national forest or park. Go hiking. Stop and listen to the glorious sounds of nature. Okay, I don't have time to drive to the forest. I don't have time to drive to the woods or to the mountains. There's no hiking trails near me. Who has time to do that when we're doing all the kids' activities on the weekends and I work all week? Okay, fine. Go search for an app like Calm that will allow you to listen to the sounds of nature. Or better yet, just go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and search for meditation sounds of nature. And you'll find thousands of videos that you can just pop in your earbuds, turn them on, and suddenly you are whisked away to a beautiful tropical rainforest or to a seaside cliff where you hear the ocean crashing on the rocks below. You can go anywhere in your mind with just your earbuds and a YouTube account. Go do something like garden. Go spend some time smelling the flowers and doing things to plant life on this earth. This grounds you. This allows you to feel one with nature. Another great one is to go stargazing. You're going to have to get out of the city to do it. Get out from the city lights. But if you can find a planetarium or an outside space away from big city lights, just take a look up. Look at how beautiful things are. Inspires wonder and gives perspective. These are all things you can do within your sanctuary. And they're all things that are necessary for us to do in order to truly remain balanced mentally, emotionally. We gain that balance in self-care. Self-care is the most underutilized, overlooked, necessary activity for most humans in our society today. Take care of yourself. Ground yourself. Find your relaxation. Find your sanctuary. Don't just find your sanctuary. Find the activities to do within your sanctuary that brings you peace and healing and comfort, excitement, inspiration, motivation, joy, whatever feeling you need at the moment. Find that activity that evokes that feeling. Take care of yourself. That's how you win your week. And I hope this week you can find ways, find time, find the place that you can go do the activities that you need to do in order for you to feel balanced, in order for you to feel rejuvenated, in order for you to win your week. That's your shot of motivation for this week. I really hope you're able to find your sanctuary, that you gain the inner peace that you deserve. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
This has been a Shot of Motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Vicki Paris Goodman is the author of To Sam with Love, a surviving spouse's story of inspired grief. After the death in 2019 of her husband, Sam, the love of her life, she was unexpectedly flooded with optimism and presented with a host of possibilities for an exciting and meaningful future. She received valuable insights, seemingly coming from an outside source, enabling her to conceive of a more realistic and uplifting understanding of death and loss. She knows these concepts will free others to face the passing of a loved one with a far more optimistic outlook. Having lived most of her life in the Los Angeles area, Ms. Goodman now resides in Prescott, Arizona. She is a retired mechanical engineer. She sings. She plays the violin, both semi-professionally. And for over 20 years, she served a Long Beach, California area newspaper as a theater critic. She is currently writing her second book, Speed Bumps and Other Impediments to Life in the Fast Lane, a slightly self-deprecating treatise on the trials of life, especially from the point of view of a type A personality. Please welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Vicki Paris Goodman. Vicki, how are you?
I'm great, Jody. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you. I cannot wait to dive in, number one, to your quote, because I love the quote that you sent, but also just to learn more about you, because there is a story here that is going to tie so well and such a powerful message that so many people need to hear. So let's jump in, Vicki. Tell us a little bit about you, how you came to this point in your life, and a little bit about the book and what really led to that incredible experience that I talked about in the introduction.
Yeah, it was so unexpected. So I lose the love of my life, not suddenly. Mm-hmm. We got Sam's cancer diagnosis very shortly after moving to Prescott, Arizona, mm-hmm. for retirement. We moved into our brand new house. We were so excited. And then the bottom drops out of everything. We get this terminal cancer diagnosis for him. Yeah. And so he lived another 2 years and he did really well for about a year and a half of it. It was only the last few months where it was kind of this downward slide. Mm-hmm. And I had plenty of time to get used to the fact that I would no doubt lose him, even though the doctors had told us there will be no miracle in this case. No one survives his specific diagnosis, not wow. even a tiny little fraction. But we still, you know, I guess it's human nature. We thought we'd be blessed with a miracle, especially when he did so well on treatment, but it sure. wasn't to be. So on the day Sam passed, all of a sudden, I kind of saw sunlight coming through on what I thought would be the cloudiest day of my life. And I was flooded with optimism and it was unseemly. I thought, oh gosh, what is this? No. Wow. And you know, my initial reaction was to try and push it away. It just was way too soon. And it just seemed no, but it occurred to me that I had been so strong during our ordeal. And I'd taken such good care of Sam toward the end of his life that I thought, you know, if good things are trying to come my way, even on the day he passed, maybe I should let them.
Wow.
So I made that decision to go ahead and let whatever came come. Mm-hmm. And it was the best decision I ever made because good things continued to happen. And it's not to say I didn't grieve. You know, it occurred to me just the other day, it's been almost 5 years since Sam passed, and another little tidbit of wisdom came my way just the other day. It occurred to me that grief kind of is bifurcated. It kind of happens in two different ways. Number one, there's the grief over the loss, but there's also the grief over what happens to your life, because it's a big life change. And my message can really help to get rid of most of what we experience over the loss, leaving us just to deal with this major life change. Right. And that's a huge help. Heck, I want to start a movement, Jody. I really believe that these concepts can help people to see the concepts of death and loss in a completely different way, a much more positive way. It does require a belief in a higher power and an afterlife.
Sure.
But most people do believe in those things. Yeah.
And that's powerful too, because you know, the loss of a loved one is so incredibly intimate and personal. But there's also this societal expectation of how you should respond, right? And so it's interesting. And I noticed that you said this, like you felt this overwhelming optimism. You're like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to feel, right? And despite the fact that it was obviously coming to you as a blessing. As a blessing that was meant to enrich your life, to guide you and help you through this experience. I think so many people get the misconception that, well, there's a certain way we're supposed to act, and there's certain things that we're supposed to do. And at some point we have to kind of get over it. Ooh, cringe. I cringe every time I hear someone tell someone, you know, it's time to move on. It's not about letting go. It's about allowing it to be.
And it's not about a specified timing either. Right. And boy, did you nail it. I call it cultural conditioning. You said society expect at a societal expectation. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be a certain way. And I've noticed even I, with these new concepts that have me thinking about death and loss in a completely different way, if I have someone in my life pass now, or if I know someone who has someone pass, I still immediately go to, oh no, even though that's not what I'm trying to impart to people now. This cultural conditioning is so strong. And, you know, there's also this other component for me. Yes, I'm trying to get this message out there, but until it does get out there to the masses, you know, what am I going to do when someone says, oh, my sister passed today? Mm-hmm. I can't go into the whole, you know, lesson or speech over this whole thing. I have to just sympathize with them, even though I'm thinking, oh, if only I could get an opportunity sometime soon to pass all this great news along to them.
Right.
So it's difficult.
It is, because there's just raw emotion. There's raw emotion, and I think sympathy and empathy and you know, those kind of things have a place in the grieving process and help with kind of the support needed to get over the initial shock and to understand kind of what's next. I feel for people that lose loved ones, and in the first couple of days, there's so much of an outpouring, and there's the visitation, there's the funeral, there's just food. I mean, I'm from the South. You gain 10 pounds when somebody dies, Vicky. It's just like the food is like incredible. And so you have this outpouring of support and reach, but I feel so bad for the next few weeks. Because everybody goes back to work, everyone's life kind of seemingly continues. And now there's just silence and there's quiet. And that's the time that you're talking about. This is the time where that message would be valuable to hear, to understand that there's something more, there's something greater, there's optimism to be had. Is that when you find this is the best time for people to really tune into what your movement is about?
It depends on the person. Mm. And you know what occurred to me also the other day? You've got me at a good time here. This message maybe is best for people who aren't facing a loss now. Ooh. Maybe the best time for people to hear this, because we all are going to go through it at some point.
Sure.
So why not have this fantastic information along with the change in thinking that it will provoke? Now, get used to these concepts, and then you'll be so well prepared any time in the future that you face a loss.
Sure.
And you can help put out the message to others who may not have heard it. You know, I hate to sound evangelical here. That's not what this is about. But yes, it's that powerful. In fact, if I'd like to just give a hint of what this is all about without all the explanation that I've put in my book and audio episodes. What it really is, well, one of the things that it is a question. Is death really tragic? And the answer to that, in a nutshell, again, without all the explanation, the answer to that is, well, if you believe in a higher power and an afterlife, a loving higher power and a beautiful beyond words afterlife, then, and in a plan that God has for each of us, then why can't we think of this the way we probably should? And that is that God had a plan for your loved one to pass ahead of you. And why not have a wonderful life, do all kinds of things, maybe things you couldn't even do before. Mm-hmm. Now, while you're still on this earth, and then you will join your loved one in the afterlife later. And in the meantime, you can maintain, believe it or not, a semblance of a relationship. I get visits from Sam all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting story that's in the book.
Wow.
So yeah, there are all kinds of ways to go about moving on quickly and with a minimum of pain, if you're open.
Right. Right. Such an interesting view of death. And, you know, as a believer, it's also about how wonderful it is for the person that's passed on. It's almost like, can we feel happy for that person? Because they've gone from this world that is broken, that's sinful, that's dangerous, that's divided, that's full of such evil and hate and bad things that are out there. They've gone from that to paradise. Can we not be happy for them? I mean, it's we grieve our loss, but we should celebrate their gain.
Boy, do you get it, Jody? That's all a part of it. Absolutely. Sure. They're maybe the lucky ones. Mm. You know, then there are questions that come up about, well, what if it's a child that didn't get a chance to live much before they pass? I don't know. Some of these questions are beyond my pay grade, you know? But maybe they're the lucky ones too, that they didn't have to go through all the pain of getting through life on Earth. Who knows what the answer to that is?
Right.
But it kind of is beside the point.
Mm-hmm. I love the title of your book, To Sam With Love. First of all, so intimate and personal, the first part, just to lay it out there in the very beginning. Listen, this was a marriage full of love and happiness and joy. This inspired grief is not because, yay, I'm free from the marriage. It's the opposite. So to start it off with To Sam With Love, as if you're dedicating this to him. But then to come behind it saying a surviving spouse's story of inspired grief.
It's an oxymoron.
Right, exactly. It's jumbo shrimp.
Right? Exactly.
Tell me about inspired grief. How is it inspiring?
All right. Well, my best friend said, that's weird. Don't use it. And I thought, she's probably right. But then I thought about all these things. And I haven't even told you all the things that have happened after Sam passed yet. But when I thought back over the 2 years, at the time it had been 2 years, that's about the time I wrote the book. And I thought, you know what? It really says, inspired grief really says what I have experienced. So instead of coming up with something more I don't know, common, like resilience or something, which one person suggested. I thought, no, I'm going to use it because it really speaks to me. And if I'm as good a communicator, both audible, you know, vocally, here I am not communicating, both vocally and in writing as I think I am, I can explain it.
Sure.
So inspired grief is all of the unexpected optimism, the opportunities that came my way that I felt somehow motivated to grasp and embrace, and they all worked out. It was almost divinely inspired there. And then these strange occurrences, serendipitous events that happened that I first chalked up to, you know, coincidence, but I have a list of seven of them here that happened over the months, you know, maybe the first year or so that Sam passed. And I thought, that's too many. There's mm-hmm. something happening here that this many serendipitous things have happened. Mm-hmm. And then the wisdom that didn't come from within me, because I'm not that wise. I think I was chosen mm-hmm. by God to get this message out there. And maybe part of the reason is because I do communicate fairly well. I was also raised in a completely secular family where no one, for as far as the eye can see, that I know of, believed in God or an afterlife. In fact, my parents and grandparents believed that people who believed in God were foolish and weak. So wow. This is what I started life with, these concepts. And look how far I've come. And I'm the only one in my family that I know of who has. So I consider myself so blessed and fortunate. And if God chose me for him to impart his wisdom to me in order to perhaps start a movement, which is what I'm really trying to do, because I think these concepts are that important, then I just feel blessed and I want to do all I can to do this job sure. that sure. he has, you know, given me. And I know he's helping me with it. So.
And that's such a great feeling to know that you've got God on your side guiding you. It can be scary, but it's such a wonderful, wonderful feeling because his plan is so perfect. And there's nothing there that's going to prevent us from not succeeding in accomplishing his goals, which may not always align with ours, but his goals are greater than ours. You said something interesting there. Seven things that happened. Can you give us a preview? I know they're in the book. I want to encourage everyone to go out and buy the book, but I'm dying for a preview. Is there one thing that was like, wow, that was crazy?
Yeah, the way I know that Sam is still around. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a story that might take a couple of minutes to tell. So, let me do two.
Sure.
If that's okay with
Absolutely.
You. The first one is, so a month or so after Sam passed, I gave him two celebrations of life because I really needed to do one in Los Angeles, a large one there. But we, believe it or not, even though we'd only been in Prescott a few months at the time we got the diagnosis and a little over 2 years at the time Sam passed, we had made so many friends in Arizona in our new home that I knew I had to have one there too. And so I was on my way to the Prescott celebration of life, and I couldn't even have it at home. There were so many people.
Wow.
So I'm on my way there, and I'm about a half mile away from the place I'm holding this thing that I would host. And I knew there would be sunflowers on the tables there because it was Sam's favorite flower. He loved them. So there I am on my way. I'm almost there. And suddenly, out of nowhere, there's this funny, almost cartoonish little bright blue car in front of me. And coming up from the roof of the car is a plastic flower. And it's bent back toward me so I can see it's not just any flower. It's a sunflower.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was one thing. Now, the way I know Sam is still around is soon after he passed, I would go to bed at night, turn out the lights, and I just kind of be laying there relaxing. Usually takes a few minutes to fall asleep, at least sure. for me. Mm-hmm. And this smoky grayish white thing kind of appeared one night. And I think it was even the first week after Sam passed. And I'm probably imagining it. It's probably just a manifestation of my eyes growing accustomed to the dark. And I thought, I'm probably hoping to, maybe see some connection with Sam or something. Anyway, maybe a couple of nights later, it was more vivid. And I thought, boy, this is kind of hard to ignore. Mm. But most nights it would be so subtle. I thought I was imagining seeing it. Sure. A few months later, it changed color to a neon yellow green. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Hmm. But again, some nights it would be so subtle that I wasn't sure I was really seeing it. And it would just kind of appear maybe 3 to 5 minutes after turning out the lights. And it would float gently around or kind of go in and out real gently for maybe, 30 seconds to a minute, and then kind of gently fade away. But sometimes it was very vivid, and I thought, I'm really seeing something. Anyway, after a year of this, I was growing weary of wondering if this was Sam visiting me, because I was always talking to the thing.
Sure.
And I had begun to pray for the first time in my life. And it didn't feel comfortable to me to pray for myself. So I would pray for other people, I don't know, who were having hard times, or for our country or its constitution or whatever I could think of to pray for, right? Mm-hmm. So on this one night, about a year after Sam passed, it was earlier in the day, I said, God, I'm going to ask you for a favor for me. I know I never do that. I'm going to make an exception to my rule. And I want you to do something. I'm getting so tired of wondering if this is Sam. I want to know. So tonight when I go to bed and turn out the light, if the neon yellow green thing is Sam, please just make it as vivid as ever and make it, move differently. Just make it appear different than it ever has before. And if it's not Sam, just give me jet black, so that I would know that this hasn't been Sam. And I knew that if it appeared the way it always had, that God had chosen not to do as I'd asked, and I'd be no worse off. Mm-hmm. So that night, it was getting to be bedtime, and I thought, what have I done? I thought, what if I get jet black?
Oh.
Am I ready to find out this hasn't been Sam all this time?
Sure.
So I thought, well, I can't stay up forever. I go to bed, I turn out the light. And instead of waiting the usual 3 to 5 minutes to appear, it was there immediately. Wow. And it was as vivid as it had ever been. And instead of floating gently around or kind of doing the in and out thing, it frantically shot across my view about 5 times in maybe a second or two, and then gone.
Wow.
So I burst into tears and I thanked God, and I told God, I said, I will never question the identity of the apparition again.
Mm. Amazing. Oh, that gives me chills. I got chill bumps. That's just to be comforted in such a way, and to have answers too, because there's the logical side of our brain that's like, okay, we're imagining things, like as you said. And then there's our heart that has such a desire to be with the one that we love, and to have that answered, and to feel the comfort of being supported and comforted in that way. I would imagine you were just euphoric for days, weeks, months, even.
I don't remember. I just know that it was such a relief to find out, okay, I was right about this. It is Sam, and he still visits me almost every night, really.
Wow.
And a couple of months ago, something interesting happened. There's this other component to it now, and that's new as of a couple of months ago. There's this gorgeous part kind of alongside it now that's the most beautiful violet color, kind of a reddish purple violet, that you've ever seen in your life. Otherworldly color.
Wow.
And it's not always there. In fact, it's usually not there, but it comes sometimes, mm-hmm. that part. And I have no idea what that is.
Interesting. Interesting. That's amazing. Vicky, tell me about Sam.
Sam was the most decent human being on the planet. Mm. He was just... he behaved correctly in every situation. I can't count even one time when he even maybe got close to embarrassing me, Never. He was just that guy, you know, who always, and he believed, this was what he believed. He believed in doing the right thing in every situation, no matter what it cost him. And as far as I could see, he lived that and never faltered from that.
Wow.
He would say he was unambitious and not as accomplished as he would have liked to have been, you know. So I think maybe this aspect of him where he did the right thing in every situation was maybe compensation for not having achieved, you know, he knew people like me, for example, who had accomplished a lot in life, at least outwardly. As far as other people could see. And Sam was quieter than that. You know, he was kind of a homebody, but he was an extremely funny man. I think he could have been a stand-up comic, you know. When he was a child, he listened to radio. Now, he was born in 1946. So this kind of stuff wasn't in my experience because I was born about 8.5 years later in 1955. And Sam would listen to radio comedy, you know, Life of Riley and Jack Benny and all those guys, you know. And what was interesting after he passed is because I'd gotten a new car and it came with a 3-month trial to Sirius satellite radio, I just happened on this station called Radio Classics that had a lot of these thrillers, you know, murder mystery things and everything, but it also had a lot of radio comedy. And I started listening to this stuff and finding out where Sam had gotten some of his one-liners. Like, for example, let's see. He used to say, what a revolting development this is. Well, that came from Life of Riley, and I never knew that until I was listening to it on Radio Classic. Anyway, that was amazing. Sam. That's funny.
Sounds like a wonderful, wonderful man, and certainly inspiring, even through today and beyond, for you to write this book. You're working on your second book. Tell us a little bit about your second book coming out.
Well, the second one is completely different. It is about type A personalities, speed bumps, and other impediments to life in the fast lane. It's funny how I wrote To Sam with Love way before I ever came up with a title for it. And it wasn't easy coming up with that title. You know, it took weeks of just... Anyway, but this one, Speed Bumps, I came up with before I started writing the book, you know. I said, I want to write a book with this title. I'm a type A personality. I've gotten much better since Sam passed. I have really conquered the patience that he could never inspire me to conquer while he was still alive. I think after he passed, I wanted him to be proud of me. Delayed, but better late than never.
Wow.
And so I've really come a long way. But anyway, I'm writing this kind of self-deprecating thing about type A's. And I thought, you know, type A personalities, they all have to feel in some ways bad about the way they are. They just have to. I know I always have. You know, I just, you know instinctively this is not the best way to be. And then I thought type B's can read this. And because a lot of type B's have type A's in their life and they don't understand them.
Nope, not a bit.
So I thought it was kind of universally applicable, you know, so I'm having fun with it. Just to give you an idea, one of my favorite chapters so far is called Road Rage 101.
Oh, that is amazing. So you're working on that. Do you have a publication date that we can look forward to?
Well, with promoting To Sam with Love, it's been on the back burner for months. But my last learning curve of promoting To Sam with Love was completed last Saturday. Okay. So I think I can finally get back. It's almost done. Mm-hmm. Speed Bumps is almost done. So I'm thinking maybe by August.
Wonderful.
To Sam with Love only took me 3 weeks to write. And, and you know, I write quickly. Mm-hmm. But I have a big trip in July, and I don't know what's going to go happen in June. So I'm thinking August.
August. Well, we'll look forward to that. You also have some special offers, some free gifts for our listeners. Tell us a little bit about what our listeners can expect when they read our episode recap and see the links there.
Okay, well, I have a website that is that has some blog articles on it. It's VickiParisGoodman.com. Vicky, V-I-C-K-I, Paris, like the city in France, Goodman.com. I have a domain called inspiredgrief.com, and I have recorded a private podcast series of three audio episodes. They're about 12 to 15 minutes each. And the content is really pretty earth-shattering. It's the kind of content that we started out talking about, where I was talking about is death really tragic? And if death isn't really tragic, then is loss, the way we think of it, really tragic? And I go into much more depth on those things in those audio episodes. They are free at inspiredgrief.com. Get the audio episodes. I promise they're really terrific. And then my book, To Sam with Love, that is available at the best pricing currently available at inspiredgrief.com/book. So get the good pricing on the book. Now, I just want to say one thing about the book and the audio episodes combined. I now look at them as a complete package or toolkit to inspired grief, because the audio episodes contain some of the best of the concepts with which I was blessed. And the book is more of a roadmap, kind of an example to a really exciting way of moving on quickly and easily into the next chapter of life. So yeah, there you have it.
Yeah. And it's a fabulous toolkit. I'm looking at the website right now, inspired with a D at the end of it, inspiredgrief.com. You have the opportunity to sign up to receive the three free audio podcasts, which I am excited to listen to, and couple that with a book. You have to couple it with a book. As Vicky said, it's a toolkit. And so I would encourage you to investigate the book. Inspiredgrief.com/book is the best pricing you're going to find, and it's an incredible value. You're going to want to do that. So Vicky, let's talk about a quote. You brought a wonderful quote, and I would love for you to share the quote, who said it, and why it's inspiring to you.
This is from Franz Kafka, rather famous person, and it's a little bit long, but I love it, and I'm glad that it wasn't too long for you, Jody. Okay, here it is. Everything you love will probably be lost. But in the end, love will return in another way. Embrace the change. It's inevitable for growth. Together, we can shift pain into wonder and love. But it is up to us to consciously and intentionally create that connection.
Wow. And that is exactly what you've been talking about this entire episode. I can see why this quote speaks directly to you. It is. I love this. Everything. It starts off so ominously. And we know this, that everything that we love will probably be lost. Now, being lost doesn't mean it's gone forever. It just means it's not with us. And I think so many people who are facing the loss of a loved one, who don't have that belief, or who don't have that quote unquote, that blessed hope of seeing them again. I can't imagine the feeling of that loss, but it doesn't have to be an eternal loss. And so as we think about the beginning of that, everything you love will probably be lost. Oh, that sounds so dark but it's not. Because of everything that comes after that, embracing the change, love will return in another way, much like the apparition that returns nightly for you, right? It's inevitable for growth. We you know, there's like three things that are constant in life: death, taxes, and change, right?
Absolutely.
So powerful. So Vicky, as we think about this, how do we shift? How do we shift that pain into wonder and love? Like the quote says, it says, together we can shift pain into wonder and love. How do we do that?
Well, I think we need to understand that there is a reason for things that happen, and that God is teaching us things with everything that happens to us, especially adverse things that happen. You know, God isn't punishing us. He doesn't want us to be miserable, but he wants us to learn things. Yes. I am convinced of it. You know, you can read near-death experiences, and there are thousands of them out there. I've read just a few so far, but they will change your life if you are looking to obtain greater faith in these things like God and an afterlife, because they have things in common, and they differ in certain ways too. So there's the near-death experiences, which I would highly recommend people look into a few of them. So when you think that everything bad that happens to you, whether it be just a bad hair day or, you know, something really terrible, you know, your house burns down or you lose someone, you know, someone passes, someone who was close to you. Now, what I do before I start, you know, having a tantrum, I start thinking, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this?
Yes.
And usually I can figure it out, whether it has to do with my impatience or something else. Look at the journey I've been on for just the last 4.5 years. I've learned more in that time than I did probably in my entire life prior to that, in right. terms of things that really matter.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
And so what I'm hearing is really what it says at the end. We have to consciously and intentionally create that connection.
I did that when I made that choice that day, exactly. not to push away the good things that were coming.
Yes.
I made the choice to let them come. And love came in so many ways, from God, because I hadn't been much of a believer before that, from Sam with the apparition. I know he's still around. And when you have a personality flaw like impatience and you've turned some people off and you go back and you reestablish some of those relationships, maybe apologize, you know, love comes in that way too. Sure. There are a million different ways that love can come to you. I made so many friends after Sam passed because someone turned me on to karaoke. They said, you know what, come to karaoke with us. You don't have to sing. Well, now I find out I can sing, and I've got probably 40 friends from it that I didn't have before, and they love me and I love them. So there's so many different ways. Yeah. You just have to be open. Do we have time for me to give a couple of tips to
please do? Yes.
To you? Yeah. Absolutely. I want to tell you about some things that also came to me. Mm-hmm. So be open to the guidance that is coming your way. That may seem like it's coming from outside yourself. Trust it and let yourself be led. Be open to those opportunities I talked about that came my way. If this stuff was available to me, it's got to be available to others. So embrace the opportunities, even if your conscience is telling you it's too soon. They're coming your way for a reason. And perhaps the most important of all is, if you lose someone, strike a balance between activity and alone time. Because those opportunities, those are the activities that can really help you move more easily into the next chapter of life. The alone time, your life is changing. You have to process that. So many people, and people who have lost someone close to them will attest to this. There are some people who will tell you, keep yourself as busy as possible so you don't have time to think or feel. I instinctively knew that was bad advice, well-intended, but bad, and I ignored it. Mm-hmm. And I was right about that. You have to process what's happened to your life. Sure. So that's my advice.
Wonderful tips. And those are tips that are going to help you not only when you're weak, it's going to help you when you're weak, when you're faced with loss. Be open to guidance, be open to the opportunities, and then be open to balancing your time between that alone time that you need to process and grieve, but don't wallow in that. Don't stay there. Get up, get out, go meet, go mingle, go talk, go share, be with people. We're creatures that need to be in community with others. And it's so important. It's so important in the healing process. Sorry, I was getting a quick call on my Facebook Messenger. I'm not sure what that's about. Okay. But yeah, so it's so helpful to be in community and to be around others, to have that opportunity to move on, to find those opportunities that will come that can be shared. And it's just so powerful. Vicky, I want to thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast. This has been a fabulous conversation. I could talk to you for hours. This is just so fascinating. I find it interesting. So many times people just are so closed off to the things that we don't know about life and death and what comes beyond and what's still here and who's still here and what, and people just close their minds off. But if we are open and we understand that there are things we don't understand and we can accept those things and just learn from them, then I think that process absolutely becomes much easier and will heal us much, much more quickly.
Yes. And just think of it. So I'm a type A control freak type, and I let myself be led. That was divinely inspired right there.
Sam wouldn't believe it, would he?
No.
Oh, Vicky, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. The quote is, everything you love will probably be lost, but in the end, love will return in another way. Embrace the change. It's inevitable for growth. Together, we can shift pain into wonder and love, but it is up to us to consciously and intentionally create that connection. Such a powerful quote that you've brought to us today. And I really appreciate the time that you spent with us, and I appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, the pleasure has been all mine, Jody.
Well, Vicky, thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast and for that powerful quote from Franz Kafka. Everything you love will probably be lost, but in the end, love will return in another way. Embrace the change. It's inevitable for growth. Together, we can shift pain into wonder and love, but it's up to us to consciously and intentionally create that connection. What a powerful quote, Vicky, and certainly powerful stories from you about the grief that you have truly found to be inspiring. As you write about in your book, To Sam with Love, A Surviving Spouse's Story of Inspired Grief. I would encourage all of you to check out Vicky's book and give it a read. You're going to be amazed at some of the stories and some of the things that you read in there and how inspiring it truly is to experience loss. Who would have thought? Well, before I lose you, why don't you stick around? Because we have just enough time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed my conversation with Vicky Paris Goodman, and to hear and to experience, to truly feel some of the grief that she has experienced and the loss of her husband, Sam. And the mindset that she has created around this grief to truly change how we view the loss of a loved one. And I think she said it very well in the very beginning. And in order to really feel inspired over grief, to experience inspired grief, there has to be a belief that there's something more, that death is not an end, that we're just not suddenly gone from existence. Growing up, that was called for me, the way that I was raised, that was called blessed hope. Blessed hope. We have blessed hope in Jesus. And what that really meant was that there was something more to life after life. And the way that I was raised and what I've grown to believe in is that there is a heaven, that there is somewhere that we go when we die. And without getting too deep into what that is and what I believe that is versus what other people believe it is and what other religions say it is, in order to be inspired by grief, to feel inspired grief, to be in a situation where while we are sad and mournful and hurt and lonely because of the loss that we experience here on earth, we are happy and excited for the joy and the glory that those that have passed on are going to experience. And that's what the message that Vicky wants to share with us, to share with the world, that grief doesn't always have to be associated with depression, hurt, pain. The grief doesn't always have to be about loss. That we can grieve what we've lost while celebrating what our loved ones have gained. Such a fascinating concept. And then she brought a wonderful quote, a quote that is practical in use. A lot of times, quotes that we find, quotes that we talk about on this podcast, quotes that I read, quotes that I find that can be motivating and inspirational, they're less practical and more theoretical. But this is a very practical quote that inspires and motivates. Again, from Franz Kafka. Everything you love will probably be lost. Okay, let's just stop right there. You want to start off an inspirational quote? That's probably not the best way to start it. By the way, everything you love, you're going to lose. But how true is that statement? I mean, in a lot of ways, it's very, very true. Most things that we hold near and dear, whether it be objects or people, relationships, many of them are only intended to be part of our lives for a season, and then they're lost. And so the quote goes on, everything you love will probably be lost, but in the end, love will return in another way. That while we may be losing people out of our lives because the season that they were intended to be with us is over, there are people coming into our lives that are enriching us, that are making us even better, because we've become better having known the people that have cycled out of our lives. And now we're getting to experience and apply what we have learned from others to new relationships, to new people, to new experiences, to new things. Love returns in other ways. So embrace that change. It's inevitable for growth. Not only is it inevitable, it's going to happen. Life is about change. Think about the places, the people, the things that were important to you 10 years ago. Where are they now? Where are those important things in the order of your priorities today? Some of them may not exist anymore because you've outgrown or moved on from certain things. You've grown. You've experienced something. You've learned from it. And now there's no longer a need to dwell in it. So you move on. Think about how our kids grow up. If you have kids, and especially adult kids, if you have adult kids, doesn't it seem like just yesterday we were visiting with their kindergarten teacher, getting an idea of their agenda for the day and what they're going to learn as they prepare for their school career? And suddenly you're sitting in an auditorium watching them walk across a stage and take a piece of paper from their high school principal. In the blink of an eye, priorities change. They grow. We grow. Change is inevitable for growth. So everything you love will probably be lost, but in the end, love will return in another way. Embrace the change. It's inevitable for growth. Together, we can shift pain into wonder and love, but it is up to us to consciously and intentionally create that connection. Oh, how easy it is to wallow in our sorrows, to linger in our depression, to dwell on our pain. We have to consciously and intentionally find the silver linings, find the blessings, understand that this elephant that is in the room, that is standing here staring us in the face, you can name him pain, you can name him death, you can name him misery, you can name him depression, but there is something standing there staring us in the face, telling us how we should feel, and yet consciously we can choose to remove that elephant from the room and think differently about death, about life, about love, and about loss. There was a quote that I read recently, and I'm going to butcher it because I can't remember it word for word, but it was powerful, and it speaks to what we're talking about here. And it says to the effect that we And it's a quote that comes from a poem, a German poet, Ludwig Jakobowski. I'm sure I've butchered that name pretty well. Oftentimes, the quote is misrepresented. Some people say that it came from Dr. Seuss, and it actually did not. The quote actually came from this poem that I'd like to read to you. It's called Bright Days, again by Ludwig Jakobowski. And this is how it goes. Ah, our brilliant days shine like eternal stars. They glow past a constellation. And this quote is actually misattributed many times to Dr. Seuss. And I discovered that it was from a poem, a German poem called Bright Days by Ludwig Jakobowski. Jakobowski. Yeah, I think I said that right. But this is the poem, and I'll come back to the specific quote that I want to highlight as part of this discussion. The poem goes as this. Ah, our brilliant days shine like eternal stars. They glow past as consolation for future sorrow. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because they have been. And if the days get cloudier, our stars redeem. And within this poem, I want to focus on the quote, don't cry because it's over, smile because they have been. And that's so true for so many things. We mourn the loss of something without appreciating the enrichment that it provided, the learning that it provided, the experience that it created. Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. Smile because you were privileged to know this person. Smile because this experience was extraordinary. And yes, it's over. but it can no longer be what it needs to be for you. We don't need to mourn that loss. We simply need to smile and appreciate that it even happened at all. And that's the message that I believe that Vicky is really trying to put out there. That truly death doesn't have to be all about an ending, something being over. How enriching it is, I'm sure, for her to have known Sam, to have married Sam, to have been in love with Sam. How powerful it was for them to be. But now that it's over, it's not all gloom and doom and sadness and tears. Be happy that it happened. Be happy that they are in a place that is glorious. It's certainly a unique mind shift when thinking about death, one that I hope you can find useful this week as you go out and win your week. And that's all the time we have for the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Amy Real for sponsoring our Shot of Motivation this week. I want to thank Vicky Paris Goodman for being a fantastic guest on the Quotivation Podcast. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for your comments. And I want to encourage you, like, subscribe, and share this episode of the Quotivation Podcast. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.